Great things about being a pastor a long time at a church is seeing youngins grow up and have their own kids and start raising them in the right way. Don't get any ideas, Brooklyn. But you know what I'm talking about. It's just great. I appreciate you girls so much. This dad had a little 8-year-old and he was having a hard time. His little boy is getting ready to go off to summer camp, and the dad and the little boy are real tight. And it was tough. It was tough. And the little boy had never been away from home for a whole week. And what was worse, the dad had never been away from the little boy for a whole week. And it was really, really a struggle. And so, you know, after a couple of days, the dad got to worried about it because he knew the boy was just probably miserable at that camp because he wasn't there with him. And so he knew how miserable he was, so he decided to call down there to the camp, and he called him, you know, and he talked to the little boy's counselor, and he was disappointed to learn that he hadn't been missed at all. The day, you know, little boy had been down there having a big time. He didn't think anything at all about the dad. It kind of discouraged him, and so he was trying to get a little, you know, more reassurance, and he said, well, have any of the other children gotten homesick? And the counselor said, well, only the ones that have dogs. And sometimes that's the way it is, Dad, isn't it? I mean, that's kind of the position somewhere we find ourselves. And that really hurt my feelings, son. Owe you a quarter. Daniel used to get a quarter every time I'd mention his name, which sometimes he'd get several bucks, you know. Duty. I'll talk about that a little bit. Duty is that which a person owes to another, that which a person is bound by a natural, moral, or legal obligation to pay or do or perform. And I, you know, and I'm going to say this, I think parents have duties for their children, to perform for their children, but since we're talking, it's Father's Day, we're going to talk about fathers here. But if you're a mother, don't feel left out because, you know, it kind of fills right in there with you. Fathers, kids, write it down, have certain duties to their families and to their children. And these duties, and they are bound, particularly Christian fathers, are bound by the Word of God to those duties. They have a legal and a moral obligation to those duties. And this morning I want us to look at six biblical duties that the Word of God gives to the father. The first one is to teach. To teach. Write that down. Deuteronomy 6:7 says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently," them being the Word of God, the law, "diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house," so whenever you're home, "and when thou walkest by the way," when you're out running around, driving around, "and when thou liest down," before they go to bed at night, "and when thou risest up," when they get up in the morning. Pretty much all the time. Let's just kind of put it that way. I think that's pretty much the gist of what the Word is saying here. Obviously, this is referring to the father's duty to teach the Word of God, to take the Word, the Bible, and teach it to their children. And actually, this obviously refers to actually reading the Bible to them and explaining the Bible to them. But it's much more than this. Fathers are to teach their children the Word of God by the way that they live. I believe that it possibly does more harm to teach a child the Word and then go out and live like the devil than it probably does to not teach them the Word at all. Because what they do, they come to the point that they associate the Word of God with hypocrisy. Now, this is not to say that you're going to be perfect. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that at all. All of us are going to teach the Word of God to our kids and then blow it. That's just something we all do, you know, and kids, you understand that. But hypocrisy, where you deliberately say one thing and then live another way consistently, breeds rebellion on the part of a child. James 2:20 says, "Faith without actions is useless." It's useless. So fathers, your first duty is to teach your children the Word by teaching them the Bible and then living out the Bible in your own lives. Now understand this, folks, and I struggle with this sermon as I always do when I start teaching principles about being good or being a good father or a good husband or whatever, because I'm such a pitiful example of all of it myself. I just am. But, and I'll just be honest with you, every man in here probably would say the same thing. We all blow it so miserably. So we're not talking about perfection. We're talking about what we are supposed to do and what we are supposed to be running in the race to do. So you kids know that. You know your dad's not perfect, but you know this, your dad loves you. Love covers up a multitude of imperfections. So understand that, and we'll go on. Because the second biblical duty of a father is to train. Train. Proverbs 22:6, very familiar. We quote it quite often and misuse it quite often, but it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, training is different from teaching. Training has much to do with repetition. In other words, teaching deals more with understanding of concepts. Training deals with developing muscle. Some of y'all coaches in here, you know what I'm talking about. You know, you go over and you train your muscles by lifting weights or running or doing something like that. That's a little different from teaching your muscles. Doesn't do a lot of good to teach, try to teach your muscles by things. In other words, some people even have, be honest with you, some people have personal trainers. Any of y'all have a personal trainer? I don't need one. I have Faith, who just kind of makes me feel like I need to have a personal trainer. I owe you a quarter too. Seriously, athletes who train their bodies, they work out. There's even a thing I understand called muscle memory. Muscle memory, like my stomach, it remembers donuts. My stomach is trained. A trained donut machine. And fathers, here's what we do when we're training. We repeat ourselves. How many of your dads will raise your hand and say you've ever repeated something to your child? Every one of you. Butch hasn't. Butch says it one time, that's it. That's all that's necessary. Look, the lesson in this verse is not that if we teach our children that someday, if they depart from that teaching, they will return to it. It is this. It is saying that if they repeat themselves over and over and over again, that someday when that child departs from that training, when the time comes and they fall flat on their face and they bust their rear, just muscle memory is going to take them right back where they came from. You know, they don't even think about it. They'll be walking by and they'll say, you know, they'll remember something mama or daddy taught them over and over and over. Sometimes it may be something their Sunday school teacher when they were a kid taught them over and over, or the preacher, or somebody over there at French camp or something, you know, over and over and over. They've heard it over and over and over and over and over. And then when they go out and they blow it and mess up, when they finally come to their senses, like the prodigal son, they'll remember just automatically. It's a big deal. So dads, when you get tired of repeating yourself, and I know you do because I'm a dad, just keep on repeating yourself. Keep on going. That's training. That's running. That's running the race. Don't give up. And if you don't, that training will always be with them. And the third biblical duty is to provide for. 2 Corinthians 12:14 says, "For children ought not to lay up treasures for their parents, but the parents for the children." Ooh, ouch. We're supposed to be laying up treasure for them. And that's not, you know, what it's talking about. We have a duty to provide for them. One of my favorite counseling verses when I'm counseling couples and fathers particularly is 1 Timothy 5:8. "But if anyone does not provide for his own and especially his family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." In other words, a Christian father who does not provide for his family is not a Christian. Just take that Christian off. Look, to a real father, family comes first. Family comes before your personal wants. Family becomes before even your personal need. If your child is hungry, you will do without so that child will have something to eat. And mothers are the same way. You know what I'm talking about. There are times you do without to provide for your child. And you don't worry about it. You don't even think about it. That's your job. That's your job. You know, family comes first. It's interesting. You know, I'll mention, I'm getting a little older. I know y'all noticed. But, you know, I am. And every once in a while, I'll mention about going on to be with the Lord. You know, and my kids don't like that, you know. Faith especially gets upset about it. She doesn't want to think about that, you know. And I'll say, well, don't worry, I've got life insurance. And she doesn't want to hear about that. And Joy doesn't know. Joy says, no, I don't want to hear about that. How much is it? You know. Just kidding. I told them the other day I'd changed it and the bacon, the dog was getting it, you know. And whoever took him, actually, my wife is getting it. Just get that straight. Look. Family comes first. And then the father has a duty to nurture. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Two words, nurture and admonition. Nurture means to feed, to nourish. Yeah. We're not necessarily obviously talking about physical feeding, physical nurturing. We're speaking of spiritual feeding, spiritual education. Admonition has to do really with four areas. One of them is counseling against the fault. Dad, your job is to counsel your children against their faults. That should always be done in love, as the verse says, so you don't provoke them to wrath or anger. In other words, that means when they do something wrong, tell them. We're so worried about hurting our feelings. They grow up doing stupid, dumb, wrong things because nobody's ever told them it was wrong. Your job's to tell them it's wrong. That's wrong. Secondly, instructions in duties. Children need to be required to do duties. When I was coming up, they were chores. Kids need to do chores. They need to be required to do some stuff. Because they grow up and they don't think they ever need to do anything because they had never had to do anything. You need to have them doing things. That's a vital part of nurturing. And then caution. Fathers, your children's safety is very important. And that's especially true spiritually as well as physically. You must teach them things to avoid. You teach them the areas of town they don't need to go to. You know, you teach them what they do not need to do in relationships with other people. You got a little girl, you just explain to her there are certain kinds of guys that they don't need to hang around with. Because if they do, you'll kill them, you know. And I'm not advocating killing somebody, but you know what I mean. And it's the same way with the guys. Caution. And then the fourth one is direction. That's the opposite, the other side of caution. Teach your children to walk with the Lord and go with the Lord and go forward with the Lord. They learn that by seeing you do it. And you have an obligation to control. Control your children. First Timothy 3:4, it says a father must make his children obey him with all respect. And this is unpopular in our modern society. But it's really not unpopular with the Word of God. The Word of God's pretty, and it goes on and on and on about this. It's just one of those things that just keeps going on and on and on and on about. I just got about three here, Proverbs 22:15. Children just naturally do silly, careless things, but a good spanking will teach them how to behave. Proverbs 23:13, don't hesitate to discipline children. A good spanking won't kill them. I'm still alive. Proverbs 29:15, a spanking and a warning produces wisdom, but an undisciplined child disgraces his mother. I could go on. The Bible's pretty clear on this teaching. So, Dad, I guess you got to decide which teaching you want to follow. You can follow the world's way of looking at things, and my goodness, aren't they successful? Look at our society. Man, we have just got the most successful young people. You know what I'm saying? The world and the way they are saying to raise children, it's a mess. So you decide whether you're going to follow that or you're going to follow the Word of God and what it says. Finally, and I think most importantly, fathers have a duty to love. John 15:17, but remember the root command, love one another. That's the root of Christianity. You don't have that root in a tree or a plant, it's dead. It's not going to live. It's not going to grow up healthy. Fathers, the root of everything we've spoken about this morning should be love. Everything you teach your children should be based in love. Everything you train your children to do should be based and rooted in love. All that you provide for your children should be rooted in love. All the nurturing you give your children should be rooted in love. The control you exercise over your children should be rooted in love. But none of this can happen if you personally, and parents, mothers and fathers, children, none of this all works together if you and we do not have that relationship with Jesus. Write that down. Jesus Christ came because the world was in a big old mess. You know, sin was ruling everything. And God looked down there and He said, we got to do something. And Jesus said, I'll go. So He came and He lived and He died on the cross. And to pay for our sins. And if we come to that point of recognizing our sin and we say, you know, I'm in trouble here because the wages of that sin's death. I mean, you know, if you die without Jesus, there's only one option, and that's hell. So when you come to that point of recognizing that and you're willing to turn away from that sin and you turn to Jesus in belief and in faith and in love and accept Him, then you begin a relationship with Him and you walk in that relationship and you grow in that relationship and you teach that relationship to your kids or kids. Sometimes you teach it to your parents. Then things go much, much better. And Christians, none of this can happen if you do not have a walk with the Lord. You can be a Christian and you can be so off and away from the Lord, you're off over here in the field somewhere and He's still going down the road and there you are, you're over here. You got to turn around and turn your back on that mess and that sin and turn yourself back to Jesus and come back to Jesus and start walking with Him. Come to Jesus. Come back to Jesus. And, you know, I really do believe that the best Father's Day gift, and I know, you know, dads don't usually give their kids Father's Day gift, but I think if you could, you should, and that means the best gift you could give them is to come back to Jesus. And I think that's the best Father's Day gift you can give your dad's kids. And kids, remember this, the only perfect father, as the girl sang about, is the one up in heaven. Our society has trained us to make excuses. Our society has trained us to blame other people. And too often, dad and mom bear that brunt of their child's anger and frustration because they weren't perfect. And then all of a sudden those kids have kids and they're not perfect either. What a surprise. And all of us have had kids, every one of us have come to the point where we say something or we're doing something to our kids and we realize we're hearing our own parents speaking out of our voice doing the same thing that we said we would never do. And you know why that is? Because you're not perfect. None of us are. There's only one Father who is perfect. But we are called upon to be thankful for the imperfect dads we have here. You know, even as much as some fathers blow it, and I'll have to admit that there are some dads that just aren't Christian and they're not acting like it and they just aren't doing what they should do. We should still be thankful for our dads and we should still respect them. One of my people that helped influence me in my life so much was Ralph Newman. And Ralph Newman, you know, I thought I just really had a bad dad. You know, my dad, I hadn't seen him in 3 years, and I just thought he was pitiful. Until I talked to Ralph Newman about his dad. And Ralph would just cry. And he'd look at me and he'd say, "Boy, you love your daddy. You respect your daddy. Because you'll never grow as a Christian till you do." No matter what he was like, what he is like. You know, you can't do anything about that. You can't do anything about your wife. You can't do anything about your husband. You can't do anything about your mama or your daddy. But you can obey God's word and respect them and honor them no matter what. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we thank you so much for your word.